and welcome to another episode of What's Up, Prof.
Hi, Martin. Why are we sitting at a round table?
We have a little bit of a technical issue with our screen. Maybe some people picked it up on the previous What's Up, Profs, that the backdrop is a little bit shrunken.
So
we're trying to sort that out. So in the meanwhile, we'll just use a little bit of other space here.
We'll use some other space. Okay. So instead of asking how we are, we're asking how's our set? Is it coming on? Is it getting better?
Well, I hope it will be back to normal very soon. But okay, that's also a definition problem. What is normal?
Nothing is normal.
Not anymore.
No.
Yeah, so you want to briefly just say how this came about?
Yes. We've had discussions now with a number of very interesting people that are into this millennial reconstruction and people that want to see a society where the church can bring in morality and normality in order to counteract the chaos that is in the world. And not only the chaos, but the violence and the depravity and everything that goes with it. And they believe the time is now for that millennial period to arrive. Mm. And we had a discussion with Lennox, and then we had the privilege to have a discussion with Wilson. And these are very, very important, and people tend to misunderstand what we are doing or why we are doing it.
Complaining about why do you give him so much airtime?
And
why
platforms and this and that and the other. The issue at stake is where are we in the stream of time? And the urgency that the evangelical world has to rectify the situation in the world, and the fear that the window of opportunity to rectify it seems to be fading. And if you do not act now, then the problem will become greater and exacerbated, etc. So strike while the iron is hot. And the idea was not to give a platform. The idea was to show what is the thinking pattern that we are confronted with.
You know, for how many years have we been speaking about this?
Many years.
And many times people would say, yeah, but it's not a danger because there's such a minuscule group.
Yes.
They don't have any clout.
But then we showed over the time how that mindset and how that thinking pattern has been incorporated into the political system of the world, how in the United States of America, the movers and the shakers, the top people, whether in Congress or wherever in the administration, have that mindset.
Yeah.
And the Supreme Court is largely Roman Catholic run. And the people that are in charge of the military and of the secret police and the FBI and the CIA and all of these, they are now a group that has a certain cohesion in terms of this thinking pattern. Mm. Then the religious aspect was brought into the White House, even though many complained that it was contrary to the Constitution. It has been established, and the evangelical mindset is having an impact such as never before. Mm. And now you have an administration that is in favor of these Christian principles being enforced or at least brought into the mainline society with the support of the state. And this is the opportunity. And the issue that we discussed is, all right, now what if we do get the society?
Mm-hmm.
What if the society is implemented? Mm-hmm. Then there will obviously also, according to the documents 2025, et cetera, the conservative agenda, there will be legislation regarding a day of rest.
Yeah.
And so we discussed the issue. And, well, yes, society is in a mess. But can you legislate morality? That was the point.
We mentioned in there, and we'll say it again. Whenever morality is legislated, blood will flow.
Correct. And we pointed to history, and we pointed to all of these facts. And the mindset is, we've learned from history. Mm. We're not going to repeat the mistakes. But when you push the issue regarding the Sabbath Sunday, mm-hmm. can two walk together lest they agree? The issue is no. The one party will want to stick to the Sunday agenda and rationalize it. Mm. And the other party will stick to the Sabbath agenda and back it with the scriptures.
Yeah.
And never the twain shall meet. And we will show that when we had the discussion with Lennox, it was basically stated that the solution really is for the one party to give way.
Yeah, just for the Sabbath keeping, just come over to Sunday. That will solve
Correct.
It. And we also had when we had the discussion with Wilson, he also stated, and people can go and watch it again, that will it be so bad if a minority group is not adhered to?
Correct. So let's look at that, unpack that argument a little bit. Society is in such a dire straits that if we do not act now, the whole of society will collapse. Now, what if one little group is in juxtaposition and doesn't want to go along with the majority in terms of this? The collateral damage of removing one little group for the greater good of the society, mm-hmm. isn't that a lesser of two evils?
That's it.
Now, it wasn't explicitly said like this, but it was implied.
Yes, because he was saying, it's so bad now, wouldn't it just be better if we can start legislating
stuff? Okay. Now, Martin, that reminds me of what Caiaphas said. Isn't it expedient that one man should die and his thinking and ideology rather than that the whole nation go to pot? Now, let's globalize that. Isn't it better that one group that seems to be in disharmony with the direction of sorting out the immorality in the world, if they are removed for the sake of the greater good of getting the entire society back on track, that would be a lesser of two evils. It would still be an evil, but it would be a lesser of two evils. And to the credit of the parties, they both asserted that they would not be instrumental in persecution.
Yes, so all the people that we've spoken to directly, they said they will be on our side.
Correct.
Stating that for our religion.
But when we showed that history showed the opposite, that eventually it does lead to persecution and it does lead to the very events that the Bible has portrayed, because in history it has always been like that. So our point in creating this discussion is not to debate at this stage whether Sunday or Sabbath is the correct one. We have a position and we are settled in the truth and cannot be moved on the issue. The other party also has a position and is settled and cannot be moved on the position. So they're going to be at loggerheads in the end. That is what the Bible says will happen with the situation of the mark of the beast. Is that right?
That's correct.
Fine. Okay, so we have a position. The position is also not, do we believe that Christ will return before the millennium or will he return after the millennium? We have a position.
Yeah.
We believe that the scripture says, according to prophecy in Daniel and elsewhere, that the kings of the world will set up a system where they control the moral issues. But the Bible says that God will intervene, wipe away all of those, and set up a kingdom that will never be moved. Mm. So the kingdom of God comes not by man implementing it, but by God implementing it. They believe, no, they will sort it out and then Christ will come. And those two positions are again in juxtaposition. Our motivation is not necessarily to show that our arguments are so much better, although, of course, we believe they are, and to convince them to change their mind, because Scripture tells us they won't.
Yeah.
Therefore, what is our position? Our position is get ready.
Get ready.
Because we are on the threshold of these events. And people that claim, no, we're going to put it off for way long, as they themselves in their interviews said, hundreds of years, 200, 250 years at least until these things, you know, come into fruition. We are saying, no, it can happen immediately. It will come as an overwhelming surprise.
Yeah.
And therefore, the question is, are we ready? And let's unpack it clearly. If they believe that they only have a short window of opportunity, which is now available because there is an administration in place that is willing to stick its neck out in this regard, well, Martin, that administration will be reassessed in the year 2028.
Yeah.
Therefore, the window of opportunity, if they want to use this opportunity, is now, between now, which is the middle of 2025 to 2028. That is a very short window. Now, we've had many, many discussions in the past as to what the signs of the times is, what the esoteric world says, what the biblical chronology says, and we've been in trouble because of it.
Yeah.
We never made a date.
No.
We are talking about events, and we always said Christ can prolong the time or he can shorten the time. That's not for us to decide. But the fact of the matter is we said the events can happen within a very short period of time. Now, if they have this drive to implement it before the opportunity goes away, then I believe that it is possible. Let's make it very plain. It is possible that the events that are described in the Bible can actually start being implemented within the next short period of time.
Yeah.
And that these events, because of the time frame, can be very rapid ones and come as an overwhelming surprise. And I believe, as we've stated many times in the past, that God gave us a practice run.
Yeah.
Didn't that come as an overwhelming surprise when we had the pandemic or whatever you want to call it? Didn't that come as an overwhelming surprise? And didn't the world change from one day to the next?
Oh, very much. It's never gone back. It won't go back. Our normality today is not what it was 5 years ago.
No, it's a new normal.
A new normal, and they stated it will be.
Okay, so let's have a look at some of these issues and just unpack it a little bit.
Yeah, put it into perspective with some videos and quotes.
And the aim, again, is to say, overwhelming surprise. If we know the Scriptures, should it be an overwhelming surprise? Or should the watchman be sitting on the wall or standing on the wall, watching the events out there and crying aloud to the people inside, that is the church, and say to them, I know that it is very dark out here now. I know it's midnight, and I know that all of you are sleeping down there, but we see something approaching where we would like to wake you up, because the sound of your snoring is so loud at the moment that it would wake up a bear. Can you please, please wake up?
And get ready.
That's the purpose of what we are doing.
Let's pray.
Let's
pray. Let's get into this. Our Heavenly Father, We are privileged to be seeing these things happen before our eyes. We are privileged to live in the times that we are living. But without you, it will not be worth anything. So we ask that you enlighten our minds, help us to put this together, and help the viewers and everybody watching this and listening to this to take it, and we can, so that we can warn the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Martin, just a question. To be awakened and ready, even if it doesn't take place, is it worse or better than staying asleep and being surprised with an overwhelming surprise?
For sure it's better. It's like an argument that somebody had sometime and said, I'll rather live as if there is a God and find out there is not one, than living as if there's not a God and then find out there is one.
Yes, that's a good point. And, you know, the argument that people have is, how are you going to get all these nations on board? They're all ideologically in a different place, right?
Okay.
It's never going to happen. Well, how did you get all the nations on board overnight in the pandemic?
That's your go-to. Hey? If ever you had a question, and if you still have a doubt, that should show you. A lot of people had the argument, but people will kick against it, so they won't be implementing
it
nationwide or worldwide. Oh, yeah?
And they did kick against it. Did it help them?
Nothing. Then you get arrested or get thrown in jail or ostracized so that your credentials is even worth nothing.
Yes. In some countries, they came with their mounted police and rode over the people with their horses. Yeah. You will do what you are told, and that's it. So, Martin, let us have a look at what we can glean from all of these things. Here is a quote from Child Guidance, and it talks about an overwhelming surprise. Transgression has almost reached its limit. Confusion fills the world, and a great terror is soon to come upon human beings. The end is very near. God's people should be preparing for what is to break upon the world as an overwhelming surprise. Our time is precious. We have but a very few days of probation in which to make ready for the future immortal life. Martin, there seems to be a sense of urgency in that statement.
Definitely.
So what do God's people need? Now, Martin, if they're asleep, can they be working on their revival and reformation?
No.
No, they're snoring, right? And I'm afraid they are snoring. Christians should be preparing for what is soon to break upon the world as an overwhelming surprise. Yeah. And this preparation they should make by diligently studying the Word of God and striving to conform their lives to its precepts. God calls for a revival and a reformation. Mm. Two things. Some people have claimed, of course, that the two are the same thing. No, because a revival can be very emotional with very little substance. Mm. So without a reformation, you have a problem, right?
If you have been gone astray and doing some things, a revival will not help that. You have to reform yourself and get back to.
Okay. So what we need is a revival of true godliness amongst us, and it is the most urgent of all our needs. And this should be our first work, to seek this. The time has come for a thorough reformation to take place. When this reformation begins, the spirit of prayer will actuate believers and will banish from the church the spirit of discord and strife. Mm. There was a moment when people woke up, thought, well, this is serious. They started praying like crazy. Eventually, we're where we are now, and everybody's back to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
A revival and reformation must take place under the ministration of the Holy Spirit. Revival and reformation are two different things. Revival signifies a renewal of spiritual life, a quickening of the powers of the mind and heart, a resurrection from spiritual death. But reformation signifies a reorganization, a change in ideas and theories, habits and practices. You have to practically apply what the scripture says. And if you haven't been doing it, Martin, then it becomes time to do it because the urgency is now there. So reformation will not bring forth the good fruit of righteousness unless it is connected with the revival of the Spirit. So revival and reformation are to do their appointed work, and in doing this work, they must blend. You must be on fire. You must have the motivation of the Holy Spirit, and then you must do.
Now, what would you say if people come to you and say, ah, you see, so we must start something new because this, the current system of what we're dealing with our church has to be reformed?
Martin, are we harborers of truth or of little conclaves of discussions? If we unify on the truth, then we will run with the truth and the rest will fall in place.
So am I okay in saying this? It says reformation signifies a reorganization, a change in ideas and theories, habits and practices. This does not mean this is a personal thing.
It's a personal thing where you have not been living in harmony with what the scriptures have been saying.
So this is not reorganizing the organization.
No, this is reorganizing the heart, a personal change. So Martin, let's see if we can reorganize in terms of the urgency of the times. Is it so that we can tell people, wake up? We're on the threshold. If you haven't been doing this work, you better do it now. Yeah. Because when it happens and you wake up and you start trimming your lamps, you might find that you don't have oil.
Now is the time to get that oil. Now.
All right. Let's look at the circumstances and see what we can glean. The world is a theater. The actors, its inhabitants, are preparing to act their part in the last great drama. With the great masses of mankind, there is no unity. That's often used as an argument. It'll never happen because they're not unified. But they certainly got unified very quickly on the pandemic, right? And it doesn't matter what country, what religion, they all got unified.
They were unified.
God is looking on. His purposes in regard to his rebellious subjects will be fulfilled. The world has not been given into the hands of men, though God is permitting the elements of confusion and disorder to bear sway for a season. A power from beneath is working to bring about the last great scenes of the drama. And one of those scenes, Martin, will be Satan coming as Christ and working with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in those who are binding themselves together in secret societies, those who are yielding to the passion for confederation, are working out the plans of the enemy. The cause will be followed by the effect. So, Martin, what we have been preaching for years seems to be inculcated in this one statement.
Yeah, because it links on, and all this deceivableness and unrighteousness and all these things, because it is coming, Christ is coming as Christ, there's a portion that I believe we can also say when we have these discussions with these guys, that's also they coming in as defenders of Christ.
Correct.
But they it's not the right thing
to do. And, you know, they might have an appearance of morality and they might belong to secret societies and maybe they have many a skeleton in their cupboard and maybe they're even covering up skeletons in their cupboards, whether it's little islands with debauched activities on it or not. That's not the issue. What is the tendency in terms of the implementation of moral values supported by the church? And I'm not even saying that the churches that are implementing them are necessarily always on the right side of that moral issue. So, Martin, here's something which is probably, let's say, not the most credible of sources in the world, but it's interesting.
Yeah, if we can hear some directly from how these guys think or so on, it's very, we have to listen to what they have been talking about in their spheres as well. I mean, we look at Blavatsky and at Bailey and what they said about what will happen in...
And we consider them credible.
Yeah, so we can have a little listen.
So here's a former church leader of Satan, and he wants to expose the satanic agenda for the years 2025 to 2027. Now, those dates are, of course, very interesting because we have an agenda 2025, which is being implemented, as we've seen in our previous WhatsApp profs. We have made statements about 2027, not that we said that that is when the end comes, but we said that these dates are fascinating for various reasons. So let's hear what the man has to say.
I was the leader of a satanic organization. I saw the satanic agenda with my own eyes. I was in meetings discussing the satanic agenda with other satanic organizations around the world. So every 9 years it gets updated. So I'm just aware of the one that's being pushed now up to 2027. I don't know what the agenda is after that. But what I've seen with my own eyes and the online conferences that I've been in with other satanic leaders, this is what's going on at the moment. When I said when I left Satanism in May 2022, when I left Satanism, I said, and I have a recording of it, I said that in 2025, people will be arrested on the street for praying for other people. People will be prosecuted for being Christians in Europe. I say that because I saw it on the agenda. It wasn't a prophecy or that I saw the future. It was because I knew what was on the agenda. And people thought I was insane. So I'm saying today that in 2027, there's going to be a one world religion that will be the acceptable and the only religion around the world that will be legal, and it's not going to be Christianity.
Now, Martin, when he says it's not going to be Christianity, well, Martin, could it be a brotherhood of religions?
I think so. He mentioned that he thinks, because he doesn't know, because that wasn't said which religion it would be, he thinks it would be Islam. But what you've just mentioned, we've got the brotherhood, we've got the Abrahamic accord.
Yes. Now, it could be, as we said, like the previous Pope said, a fraternity.
No.
He was pushing the issue of fraternity. And in Christian nations, it would be a Christian flavor, whereas in Islamic nations, it would be a Islamic flavor, etc., depending on where you are in the world. But there would be a joint agenda which would incorporate morality.
And saying that it won't be a Christian religion, when you take the Abrahamic Accords, the Christian portion, according to them, that doesn't qualify to be Christian.
No, because it denies the atonement. But leave that apart now. In a Christian nation, you could have Christian morality.
Yeah.
Now, what legislation could be universal in terms of Christianity, Islam, or any other religion? Isn't it a day of rest that one could unite upon? And what if that day of rest was actually initiated by the beast, which is Catholicism? Then wouldn't the mark of its ecclesiastical power become a universal mark, whether for climate reasons or for religious reasons, then becomes irrelevant, right? If it's just for economic and environmental reasons, that's good enough. It's still the same legislation.
We've always said that because people would ask, okay, but if they want to, if it's for Sunday, what would get the atheist and the other religions to
accept it.
And we've always said, one of the biggest ways to do that will be the climate.
Correct. Now, in Islamic nations, are there moral laws and moral codes?
Yeah.
Yes, there are dress codes. There are all kinds of codes. And do they have a particular law that deals with that moral situation?
Yeah.
Isn't it Sharia law?
Yeah.
So the other nations already have moral legislation.
Yeah.
It's the Christian nations that don't have it. So they could implement it. And many of them we could agree on.
Yeah, yeah.
For
sure.
When it comes to the day of rest, we cannot agree on it because they are two opposites. And the one, according to the scripture, is the sign or the mark of the authority of God, which is the Sabbath. And according to Catholicism and the evangelical world, it is the Sunday that gives them the authority to implement their moral values, right? So this is where we would be at loggerheads with the system. So I don't think what he said there about Christianity being gone, but biblical Christianity will be confronted. That is the issue. Now, did it come true what he said? Are people being arrested for praying for people or for even in their mind praying or addressing issues such as abortion or whatever? And the answer is obviously yes. Yeah. So show a few videos, Martin.
So as far as I know, I'm quoting a Bible, preaching my faith, and I'm being harassed by the police now for what did I didn't do anything illegal.
Whilst you're speaking to the camera about being harassed by the police, you're not being harassed by the police.
So what's going on?
We've just had numerous calls through to our control room, which hence is why we're here.
So the calls, so basically anybody can lie about somebody and say they're bothering me and therefore I have to be shut down because someone produces
We need to be seen to look into it.
Yeah, at the moment we're not shutting you down or anything. It's just that we've got so many numerous calls through that we had to come and speak to you.
I think
there's a few people that's offended. That doesn't mean that there's an offence being committed.
I appreciate that.
You understand?
There's no problem in regards to your freedom of expression, okay? Nobody's questioning that.
Yeah.
The problem is somebody's made an allegation that what you've been saying has caused them to fear due to a hate crime element, okay? That's why I'm here, okay? Not to do with your freedom of expression, okay?
Yeah.
In regards to whatever you're expressing, okay?
Yeah.
I think it's the topic that's caused the reason that I'm here, all right?
For an offence, for there to be an offence of Section 4A or Section 5, okay, I would have to be guilty of using threatening, abusive, or insulting words, and that's certainly not what I'm doing.
I'm
simply here preaching from the Bible.
I haven't said you're guilty.
Sorry?
Even if that's not your intention, somebody has felt that way, and therefore they've rang us. Do you understand that?
Yeah, I do understand that, yeah.
I told you to watch what you were saying, because people are... No,
when you're croaking, right? Finish
what
you're saying.
People are saying that they are offended by what you're saying.
Yeah.
Now, if we get complaints to say that somebody is offended,
right,
then we have grounds to arrest
what ground?
You.
Under what law?
Under Scottish law.
What law? What?
Criminal justice law.
What's the offence then? If somebody's offended. It's not a hate crime.
But
if somebody's offended.
It is a hate crime.
If somebody's offended.
No. Yeah,
the Bible is offensive.
Listen.
And I have every religious freedom in this land, purchased by the Crown, by the way. The Crown, the very Bible that our King and his coronation put his hand upon and swore an oath to the people. I have every right to preach the Bible.
Well, don't preach to me, right? Because I'm trying to do my job.
You're asking me.
Well, Martin, the fact is that they claim that if somebody is offended, then you can be arrested, right?
Mm.
Now, Martin, if you preach that a certain religious system is the Antichrist, wouldn't some people be offended?
Mm-hmm.
About more than a billion at least, right? And some others as well.
It's not that big, just over a billion. it is exactly. So it's just for me, it's interesting to see that they say we're not – we don't argue that you've got freedom of speech and you can, but you're, as long as you're offending somebody, you don't have it anymore.
Correct. Now, what that ex-Satanist said, he was talking about a plan for 2025 to 2027. Now, in 2025, we are told by the esoteric world that there will be an externalization of the hierarchy So in some way, the demonic forces must have direct access and influence over society, over leaders in society, over governments, over policies. And the question is there any movement in that direction? Mm. Now, we're not going to repeat what somebody has already done a very good job on. Matthew Sanchez had a talk the other day on, is the false Christ about to appear? And he deals with this very issue of the predictions of Alice A. Bailey for 2025. And he explains that there were meetings where this was discussed and how far along this issue has progressed.
Yeah. There's a document about a reporter that really
goes into detail
with it.
He did a great job. And there is the link on the screen. We'll also have it in the descriptions. And I advise everyone to go and see what Matthew Sanchez has actually put out with his colleagues. And they did a wonderful job. And I think it's worth watching. So go and watch his channel and see what he had to say on the issue. The fact of the matter is that which Alice A. Bailey said many, many years ago is actually coming to fruition in the time that we are living in. And then, of course, we also have these massive manifestations of UFOs alien connections and this and that, and the news is full of that at the moment.
The latest one I saw is it's light that they saw with a telescope, and now they believe that the way it's approaching, it cannot be a comet.
Correct. This professor at the university stated that it was a spaceship.
Trying to make contact, probably.
Yes, and it was nuclear powered because it had a light in front and not the light in the tail, like in a normal comet. But be that as it may, this idea of we're coming into contact with the world out there is very prominent. And we've had talks on other forums where we dealt with UFOs.
Yes, with Strange Normal and Bradley. We had that interview with him. He's still producing very good episodes.
Correct.
The people that we had with Heritage and Hope, that we did the interviews with Lennox and Doug Wilson they also had a very good collaboration with Strange Normal and Bradley.
So we've been on those forums and people can look, and we believe that these are demonic manifestations because this world that we are on right now, this world is the one where the sin question will be dealt with.
Yeah.
And we know who is down here. We have a demonic world and we have a human world down here. And the one is going to manifest itself, in other words, take an active part in events. Whereas before it was behind the scenes in secret societies and satanic organizations and rituals and calling up demons, etc., etc., whether it happened in a church setup, so-called church setup, or whether it happened in secret societies is irrelevant at this point, but it was behind the scenes and it was secret. Now it will become mainstream and become open. And hasn't Hollywood propagated that over the years?
Oh, man. They've got an agenda.
Correct. So he said it'll start manifesting in 2025. We are seeing it in 2025. Watch Matthew Sanchez's documentary and determine whether that is so or whether that is not so. But we're moving along in time. So let's talk about the evangelical position, or let's talk about some of the evangelicals in the world that are driving this issue that now is time to strike, because the window of opportunity to curtail the evil is slowly passing away. So if we don't act now, it'll be too late.
So they're using this small, like you mentioned, the opportunity of this current administration in the US.
Correct. And you had Lennox that we spoke to, who is in the same sphere, but we also want to know what Douglas Wilson had to say, because his influence is just so much greater, and his influence stretches right into the echelons of power. And we've had this wonderful privilege of also being able to speak to him besides Lennox. So let's have a look at some of his previous discussions. He had discussions with Tucker Carlson, and he had discussions with CNN. So obviously this issue is now very broadly being discussed. Let's have a look at some of these things.
All law is imposed morality.
By definition.
By definition. It's not whether, but which. It's not whether you're imposing morality. It's which morality you're imposing. Okay. And if someone says, well, you're going to wind up imposing morality, I say, well, yeah, that's what law is, right? You can't have a structured, ordered society without the imposition of morality.
Law is judgment.
Right. But then that leads to the question, which morality? Every moral system arises out of the worship of a god. All right. So in Saudi Arabia, you're going to get a moral system that is distinctly different than a moral system that arose out of a country with a Christian history and consensus. All right. So the God you worship, this is a principle you see all through the entire Bible, and that is you become like what you worship. People begin to be conformed to the image of what they consider to be the highest good. You become like what you worship.
Okay, so Martin, if you are in a Christian nation, that is what you want. Now, let's get this straight. Many of the Christian nations have been inundated with migrants.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And in some of the nations, those migrants can be from other religious systems, particularly in Europe. Mm. And that affects the identity of that nation or that continent, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there are moves afoot to say that we do not want to be associated with the morality that is associated, for example, with Islam. Mm-hmm. We don't want to be under Sharia law. We'd rather have Christian norms. And that is where even the scientists and the atheists in the world eventually come to the conclusion, no, I'm a cultural Christian, right? Because I'd rather be under that set of laws than in the other. But in the meantime, migration is increasing, and the continents, whether it be Germany or whether it be England or whether it be any of the others, are becoming more and more Islamitized.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a movement afoot. No, we're going to get rid of all the illegal aliens, or let's say all of those that do not want to conform to mm-hmm. our set of standards.
It's almost like a patriotism resurgence that's
correct
happening.
And the left has always been very open to this blending, mm-hmm. and the right has been very anti this blending. So whether you talk about the issue in France or whether you talk about the issue in England or Germany, this is a great divide.
Mm-hmm.
And at the moment, the ones that hold sway are more the ones that are on the liberal side. And we said the pendulum will start swinging.
It did swing in the US.
And the US would take the lead.
And it's doing it.
Question. Did the US start taking the lead?
For sure.
Did they start saying, no, we need Christian norms?
Trump, yes, that for sure.
Did he introduce into the White House a system to have a look at it, that Christianity should no longer be trodden upon?
Yeah.
All right. Did he act upon migrants?
In the latest interview that I saw, he said, is it in the past 90 days, not one illegal immigrant passed over the border.
Okay. So, now it's interesting. In the United States, most of the immigrants that come in are not necessarily from another religious system other than Christianity. Many of them are from South America that are actually Catholic. But the problem is that they align themselves with liberal thinking, in other words, with the left.
Yeah.
And so they will rather tolerate woke and other problems rather than giving the right the power to get rid of the immigrants. So strike while the iron is hot. Get rid of anyone that has any connection to woke.
Yeah.
So there it is, a king of the north, king of the south issue. And in the rest of Europe, it is a question of two religious norms that are clashing. Therefore, let us move back to our old Christian roots. So we have to look, is there a movement in that direction? Now, as Wilson said, we want to implement laws. Mm. We want to implement morality. He said so to Tucker Carlson.
That is law. He says that's a definition.
And the God that we serve is the God of the Bible. It's the Christian Bible, the God of Christianity. And our laws are going to be Christian laws. That's basically what he said, right? Now, in our discussion with Lennox, what happened there?
Does your ideal political leader get into power and then shoot the moon, Sabbath legislation, the whole deal, or do you wade in from the shallow end?
You don't need like a majority support of the population. You just need a strong-willed minority, and then that ruling class can shape the imagination of the majority, which I think Trump is doing now, because for decades we've had a very kind of weak right when it comes to imposing your will upon the executive branch. And now he's actually revealing to the country that, oh, wait, there is this executive who's vested with the executive power who can exercise power within his branch. I just don't think you're ever going to escape the nature of politics, which is agonistic. There's a struggle. There's a point in which you debate. And then if you win, and you essentially impose your will upon those who disagree.
So when you have blue laws, that's something that Anglicans, Congregationalists, Presbyterians, Baptists can all agree on. The Seventh-day Adventists wouldn't, but, things are tough all over.
Let's say labor laws make it almost impossible to have 2 days, because the world is basically asking for a synchronized day of rest. Whatever the laws move in that direction, then you start legislating the first table of the Decalogue.
Yeah, I'm in favor of legislating the first table of the law. Now, if I can imagine a country where 99.9% of the population is observing the first day, and the guy who's got convictions that it's Wednesday, he's gonna have a tough time of it. Right? I do think there's a great value in a society being on the same clock.
Our concern is that long term down the road, our people are going to be facing imprisonment in the future as they did back in 1888.
So, and if that were to happen, that would be bad, right? But if that bad thing happened, it would be way better than what you're going through now.
How so?
We just finished slaughtering 60 million babies. What's the alternative? The alternative is where we are now, where people are seriously arguing for transhumanism, genetic engineering, splicing human beings with animals. We're in the middle of a brave new world, and I don't believe that we should be spooked by what some Christians did 300 years ago. And what some Christians are talking about, hey, wouldn't it be nice, if we were to go back to that? I'm opposed to that, but that's not the big danger right now.
6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. Let's say I own a bakery and I'm forced to close my business on Sunday. Is that not impeding upon my free right to keep the commandment and work 6 days?
And again, this is, I think, where it gets tricky. And I think for the sake of the harmony of all of this, it would be much easier if my Seventh-day Adventist friends just started to acknowledge Sunday as the Lord's Day. Then that way we wouldn't run into those kinds of issues. But I wouldn't say.
That would be the simplest, most orderly way to do it, because the vast majority, let's say we have a Christian nation,
the vast majority of Christians in North America observe Sunday as the Lord's Day. And if this were a Seventh-day Adventist country, or if you postulate the formation of an Adventist country somewhere, and I went there, I would fully expect to adjust myself to that custom of that people. But in order to have that happen, you have to have the numbers, basically.
Because we look at what prophecy is saying and where we are heading, and we see that all these tentacles are in currently in government and also on the Supreme Court, the majority being Roman Catholic, and that bringing in all the things is set up correctly, that when the Christian nationalism starts maybe being implemented, who will be the driving force? Will it be a view like you have, or will it be coming from the Roman Catholic side?
I think that there are people alive and arguing for things who, if they came out on top of the Christian nationalist movement and they were calling the shots, they would be saying things and doing things that you guys wouldn't like at all. I think that if I were in the position where I was, people and like me were representing Christian nationalism, I think you would have nothing to worry about at all. I think that we have to decide to do something.
Now, Martin, the interesting thing is, it would be better if we moved on our position. Well, trouble is, this book is very explicit. And therefore, if we did move, we would violate our conscience in terms of what this book has to say on the issue, right?
Or, if we can put it bluntly, we would have changed one of the commandments.
We would have changed one of the commandments. Now, Roman Catholicism didn't have a problem with that. They changed it. Mm-hmm. They admit that they changed it, and they want to enforce it according to their catechism and according to their encyclicals. Because Rerum Novarum, which the present Pope stands for, said it is a law that the state must legislate. Yeah. Must legislate.
And remember that in our discussion with Doug Wilson, Pastor Doug Wilson, he said exactly the same.
He said exactly the same. Now, his conviction also was that it had moved from Sabbath to Sunday.
You remember what Lennox just said. It was a whole shift in the cosmos.
Yes.
That took place.
Correct. Now, this is where we are going to have a difference of opinion. And it is fascinating to me that the thinking, as we said in the introduction, was that what is worse, letting the whole world go to pot or making sure for the sake of unity that a lesser evil, in other words, the division on this point, be removed in order to save the whole world.
And he was also speaking about the minority.
The minority.
Because the majority will be following the Sunday portion.
Correct. And we asked the question, is the majority necessarily right?
And they used the example, Alex used it in saying that when Jesus was on earth, was the majority right or was the minority right?
Correct. So, Martin, this is very fascinating. Now, let me put this straight. This is not to attack the people that we had interviews with.
I think we had very civil discussions with them.
And yes, they will have, as they claim, no drive to persecute anyone on that issue. But the fact of the matter is that history has shown that not everybody will be on the same page in their camp with this either.
By them acknowledging it as well.
Now, Martin, here society finally decides to set straight morality in the world by legislation, and one group says it's not going along with it. Surely some will come up with the argument it is expedient that that group be removed for the sake of the common good.
Yeah.
Now, who argues for common good? Doesn't it the Roman Catholic system?
That's 100% them.
So, Martin, the point is, are we at that point where these things can happen as an overwhelming surprise?
if you're not watching it, for sure it's going to take you an overwhelming surprise.
Okay, let's listen to what Wilson had to say on CNN.
A new church has quietly opened here in Washington, just three blocks from the nation's capital. The Defense Secretary, Pete Hegseth, attended the first service. The church is part of the Communion of Reformed Evangelical Churches, and its aim is global Christian domination under a strict interpretation of the Bible.
Christ Church Senior Pastor Doug Wilson makes no apologies for his beliefs on God and country.
I'd like to see the town be a Christian town. I'd like to see the state be a Christian state. I'd like to see the nation be a Christian nation. I'd like to see the world be a Christian world.
And now Wilson's controversial views as a Christian nationalist are gaining sway in the nation's center of power with the recent opening of his new church and high-profile parishioners like Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth.
Is planting a church in D.C. part of your mission to try to turn this into a Christian nation?
Yes. So every society is theocratic. The only question is, who's Theo? In a secular democracy, it would be Demos, the people. In a Christian republic, it'd be Christ.
Well, what would you say to someone watching this to say, look, I'm a Muslim. Who are you to say your worldview is better than mine, that your God is better than mine?
Well, if I went to Saudi Arabia, I would fully expect to live under their God's rules.
But you said earlier that you want this to be a Christian world.
Yes.
So you want to supplant their religion with your Christian.
Yes, by peaceful means, by sharing the gospel. There's a lot of work yet to do. I believe that we are working our little corner of the vineyard.
He is rapidly gaining in power. He has hundreds of churches established around the country. They actually literally want to take over towns and cities, and they have access to this administration.
Wilson is part of a broader Christian nationalist movement making inroads with the Trump administration, with a newly created faith office led by evangelical pastor Paula White Cain, and people seen right outside the White House entrance praying and speaking in tongues.
We are standing on the soil of the White House, and we are declaring your word.
How precious.
And now there's a monthly prayer service at the Pentagon, initiated by Hegseth, Wilson's highest level connection to the administration.
It's not organizationally tied to us, but it's the kind of thing we love to see.
For his part, Hegseth has publicly praised Wilson.
Now we're standing on the shoulders of a generation later, the Doug Wilsons and the others.
Wilson's influence spans the globe with more than 150 churches. Lennox Kalafungwa moved to Moscow from Africa.
It's really because I wanted to be a part of a community that was doing something, and especially in building Christian institutions.
Are there other black families in this community?
Oh, absolutely. There's a few black families.
How far off do you see a Christian nation, like a full-on Christian theocracy?
Oh, 250 years.
250 years.
Yeah, honestly,
That's what you see. But you do think it will happen?
Yes, I do. We're not going to usher in anything ourselves. We're really genuinely pioneers.
CNN, by the way, reached out to the U.S. Defense Department to inquire about Secretary Hegseth's relationship with Doug Wilson. A spokesperson said Hegseth is, quote, a proud member of the network of churches founded by Wilson, and that the secretary, quote, very much appreciates many of Mr. Wilson's writings and teachings, end quote.
Okay, Martin. Now, Martin, what is the possibility, given his statements to us about the urgency of the situation and that it has to be implemented, and just like Lennox, who is in the same team as them, stated the Sunday Sabbath issue will be a point of discussion, and it would just be better for the Adventists just to give up their Sabbath and go with the flow, right?
Mm-hmm.
What is the probability, Martin, that two little ministries like Heritage and Hope and Clash of Minds should have this amazing privilege of being able to talk face to face with both of these entities? I think that God opened a window here. And I am overwhelmed at the responsibility that rests upon us. I don't believe that what we said in those interviews, I don't even believe that the best arguments that you could ever provide for our position is going to sway anything. But if it can wake people up that this is the confrontation that is waiting for us, then they should wake up from their slumber.
You know, in 1888, with presenting facts and persuasion, they swayed the people.
But it's not going to happen the second
time. This time, and the Bible and the spirit of prophecy says not the second time. This is a second siege.
Correct. Let me get to another point here. Both of the individuals we spoke to said it is not in them to persecute.
No.
But we claim that history proves that eventually such a conflict leads to persecution. Now, many of the points that drive them, issues of morality, we agree on.
Definitely.
Society is in a mess, and what a wonderful world it would be if the whole world would have good Christian morality. But the question is, can you legislate it? Mm. Every time a nation in the past has legislated it, or a system has legislated it, it led to persecution, bloodshed, and catastrophe.
Mm.
The point is, Martin, even though we didn't sway them, that's not the point, not the issue. When the events take place, they could make a decision for the other side.
For sure.
Because through our discussion, we have actually told them that the scripture says that this will happen
many times.
And when they see it happen, I have this hope.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe I'm backed by the spirit of prophecy that many will see it and will come over. So this is not a condemnation of Lennox, and it's not a condemnation of Wilson. It is an appeal to them to make a determination for what is going to be the norm, the consensus of society, and their definition, or the papal definition of the common good, or the scripture.
You see, that's one question we also asked.
Yeah.
If we see the administration, the Supreme Court, and the movers and shakers in there are part of the system, according to the Bible, that's the Antichrist system.
Martin, I believe God opened a door. I believe God gave us an opportunity to state a case. Whether it's accepted or not at this stage is irrelevant. But I believe the fact that it happened means that God wants us to wake up because the time is short.
Yeah, and stuff is happening.
So let's just have a look at what the Parliament of World Religions has decided that it wants to do at its next meeting. And here we have the Tri-Abrahamic Dialogue on the Climate Crisis.
Mm.
And we've always connected the climate crisis to Sunday legislation in the past, and people can look at those presentations. So what do our faiths demand, not suggest?
Mm.
The Tri-Abrahamic Dialogue on the Climate Crisis. This webinar is a forum for creation care leaders and grassroots activists to analyze their communities and strategic audiences in the concrete situation of 2025. It's fascinating how those two dates keep coming up, right? Panelists will explain how Laudato Si, isn't that a Catholic document?
Yeah, yeah.
Written by the previous Pope. And Al-Mizan, which is an Islamic document on the climate change. And other texts set the foundation for effective action for climate that is broad-based, compassionate, and at a scale to the crisis. Martin, let's be quite blunt. My position, at least, is a created crisis which doesn't exist, but nevertheless, their problem. In the light of the wisdom of the Abrahamic faiths.
Yeah, I just want to ask a question that I've heard before. So people said, and they made statements that Oh, everybody was waiting for the climate crisis to bring in the Sunday law. Now they have tomato on their faces. Is that true?
No.
Why not?
It's still working in the background.
So, if this current administration, Trump, that got rid of the Paris Agreement, climbed out of the drill baby drill and all of this, like we've said before, if they want to implement the Sunday as a day of rest, the climate activists will climb on board because it's for the good of the earth.
That is their ladder to be on the platform. If morality and Christian norms is the ladder of the other one, then that's fine. Then the one has the mark in the forehead and the other one has the mark on the hand.
We've said this will be the glue, and I still believe it will be the glue to get them all together.
Of course it will be the glue. All right, let's see how acceptable al-Mizan is, which is the Islamic version of the reasons why you need a climate activity.
Yeah, the Islamic Laudato Si.
Yes. So it's a covenant for the earth. Pardon, that's Gaia worship, but let's leave it at that. So al-Mizan is a covenant for the earth, presents an Islamic outlook of the environment in a bid to strengthen local, regional, and international actions that combat climate change and other threats to the planet. It is a global endeavor. Global. Mm. So it is a common platform to climb onto the ladder of moral legislation. And Sunday is ensconced in it. You cannot get rid of it. Al-Mizan restates the principles governing the protection of nature and a form that meets current challenges. It is based on Surah Ar-Rahman, the Merciful, in which Allah Almighty describes the creation in its perfect balance. So we have two deities that, according to two religious systems, require us to start implementing moral legislation.
For climate.
For climate.
And remember, Laudato Si also had very Gaia talk in it, brother, sun, and sister,
absolutely,
moon, or whatever. I can't even remember the right words.
Now, yeah, Martin, you have this issue of Islam implementing Sharia law. And we saw that there was a hue and cry that the Christian component of Europe, which believes that the basis was Christian, doesn't want to be under that system, right? And it was so fascinating, as we said before, that Richard Dawkins, who's an atheist, says he is a cultural Christian. He wants those laws. So, Martin, when they want to implement these Sharia laws, and the liberal governments are allowing it, can they expect a backlash?
Oh, definitely.
Let's have a look.
Sharia law is now valid in Austria. A court has ruled in a decision widely condemned by locals. In a landmark legal decision, the court ruled that a contract made between two businessmen using Sharia law is valid in the country. One of the parties had taken the case to the court, pointing out Sharia's arbitrary nature. Often being subject to wildly differing interpretations by scholars, and its fundamental violation of Austrian law and its principles. But the court slapped the argument down, explicitly stating the Sharia agreement didn't contradict Austrian values. The decision prompted fury from the Conservative government. Claudia Placon, Minister for Europe, Integration and Family, said, "Sharia has nothing to do with Austria and the principles of our constitution." This is the latest twist in Austria's checkered relationship with political Islam. The country was the first in Europe to recognise the religion with its 1912 Islam law. But changes to the law banning foreign funding for mosques led to a backlash from Muslims who said the state was spreading distrust of them. In 2017, the country banned the burqa. Britain is seeing its own growing concern over the role of Sharia courts in its society.
Mohammed is the most popular baby name in Britain for the second year in a row. I'd like to congratulate Mohammed on doing the double. It's back-to-back victory for Mohammed. There's been a 23% rise in the number of little baby Mohammeds in the last year. The name Keir, by the way, has died out.
Okay, Aman, why are we showing these things? We're showing that the world will be splitting into moral conclaves, either controlled by Islam or by Christianity. At the moment, there is still this conflict between the liberal thought and the conservative thought, but the backlash is becoming so great that there is the shift to the conservative side.
And the pendulum is... So where previously the pendulum was completely to the opposite side during the Biden administration, we said that it was actually more moving in Europe at that stage. And then it moved in US.
But not in the United Kingdom.
Not so much.
So
but
it's
now,
sort of hanging in there. Let's see what's going
to
happen.
But now it's starting to happen.
It's very interesting that... Hollywood brought out some movies, and they have some little interesting little anecdotes in there that we might just look at. Yeah.
This is just linking on to what that ex-satanic what that leader will say about their plan.
Listen to this. I've seen the earth laid to waste. I've seen the horror to come. Is it a sin to wish you were never born? The 1,000 years have ended. 27. A 1,000 years had ended. When 1,000 years are ended, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. 27.
I'm not the bad guy.
What about the end of days?
Think of it as a new beginning, a change of management. And you'll be right there with me on the ground floor. It will be so cool. Tell me what you want. Tell me what you really want, and I'll give it to you.
I'm here on the ground with my nose in it since the whole thing began. Who in their right mind, Kevin, could possibly deny the 20th century was entirely mine? It's my time now.
Oh, that's pretty perfect. Now, Martin will probably be accused of date setting again.
We didn't say anything.
We're not date setting. We're just looking at what these people have to say. I find it just interesting that there seems to be this thing of a new agenda coming.
Yeah. And from the satanic side, from all over.
From every side, from Hollywood. And by the way, let's make it quite clear again. Hollywood is Jesuit theater. And the Jesuits are the enemies of Christ, even though they call themselves the Society of Jesus.
That's just...
They hate the word.
Yeah.
It is their greatest enemies, this poisonous asp, as they call it. And their main objective is to destroy Protestant Christianity and bring the world back to allegiance to the papacy. And he's... mark of authority, as he claims, is Sunday.
Sunday.
That's it. So, Martin, what is the last act in the drama? Never did this message apply with greater force than it applies today. More and more, the world is setting at naught the claims of God. Men have become bold in transgression. The wickedness of the inhabitants of the world has almost filled up the measure of their iniquity. This earth has almost reached the place where God will permit the destroyer to work his will upon it. Isn't that what he just said?
Well, it's my time now.
The substitution of the laws of men for the laws of God, even if they are packed as moral Christian laws.
Yeah.
But they're not. They're moral papal laws.
Yes.
So let's read it again. The substitution of the laws of men for the law of God. The exaltation by merely human authority of Sunday in place of the Bible's Sabbath is the last act in the drama. When this substitution becomes universal, God will reveal himself. He will arise in his majesty to shake terribly the earth. He will come out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the world for their iniquity, and the earth shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. Martin, we're on the threshold of this.
No.
If people don't see it in the discussions that we've had, I doubt whether we can ever open their minds, or maybe the sleeping pills are so effective that they don't even wake up. The days in which we live are solemn and important. The Spirit of God is gradually but surely being withdrawn from the earth. Plagues and judgments are already falling upon the despisers of the grace of God. The calamities by land and sea, the unsettled state of society, the alarms of war are portentous. Don't we have all of that?
Yes.
Do we have to again go into Ukraine and Iran and Iraq and whatever? No. They forecast approaching events of the greatest magnitude. The agencies of evil are combining their forces and consolidating. They are strengthening for the Lord great crisis. Great changes are soon to take place in our world, and the final movements will be rapid ones. And Martin, he said 250 years. Do you believe that?
I think, no, I do not believe that, because I think we're already in the final movements that are starting to be rapid.
Exactly. So in my opinion, whether it's 250, it might as well be 250 days. Could happen. Yeah. I'm not saying it is, in case somebody wants to say something again.
No, don't put words in our mouth, but no. I won't be surprised. Well, maybe it will still be an overwhelming surprise. That's why we said, are we ready?
Are we ready, yeah. The epidemic of crime. We are living in the midst of an epidemic of crime, at which thoughtful, God-fearing men everywhere stand aghast. The corruption that prevails is beyond the power of the human pen to describe. Every day brings fresh revelations of political strife, bribery, and fraud. Every day brings its heart-sickening record of violence and lawlessness, of indifference to human suffering, of brutal, fiendish destruction of human life. Every day testifies to the increase of insanity, murder, suicide. Who can doubt that satanic agents are at work amongst men with increasing activity to distract and corrupt the minds and defile and destroy the body? No wonder they say, if we don't correct it now, it's too late.
Yeah.
And you have the spirit of anarchy.
We've seen that now in a few videos also.
All right, exactly. Is permeating all nations. And the outbreaks that from time to time excite the horror of the world are but indications of the pent-up fires of passion and lawlessness that, having once escaped control, will fill the earth with woe and desolation. The condition of things in the world shows that troublous times are right upon us. The daily papers are full of indications of a terrible conflict in the near future. Bold robberies are frequent occurrence. Strikes are common. Thefts and murders are committed on every hand. Men possessed of demons are taking the lives of men, women, and little children. Men have become infatuated with vice, and every species of evil prevails. But is this a reality, or is this conjecture? One case that must have rocked the world of late must be the Kohlberger situation. I mean, here is a PhD student in criminology,
yeah,
studying these things. He's awkward, and he has all kinds of issues with girls. And he goes and cold-bloodedly goes into a house and stabs to death young people, young girls, and tries to get away with it. Cold-blooded murder for the sake of the kick.
Yeah.
Isn't that
demonic? That's the only explanation, because the motive is still not known.
No, no. Because girls seem to have avoided him because of his awkwardness. He was going to vent his anger upon them and kill them.
Yeah.
So Brian Kohlberger has been sentenced to 4 consecutive life terms because he finally admitted it and he made a plea deal,
yeah,
so that he wouldn't get the death sentence. And now he's complaining that the inmates are harassing him, and he wants special things. You know what's amazing, Martin?
Mm-hmm.
The man's a vegan.
Yeah.
Just throw that into the pile.
Yeah, how did that work?
How does that work, right? This is just fascinating to me, how you can create animosities against certain issues. We don't have to read it all. Yeah. We were recently in Europe, right? And we were walking there on this boulevard in Lucerne, and we saw these things there on the sidewalk, these big plastic containers and these ramps over here. And we asked, what are these? Mm. What are they all about? No matter where you go on those streets, there they are. And the people are walking over here and you have your little stalls and you can get little snacks there. And whenever there's some cultural event here around this beautiful sea, the people are walking there. What are these things?
Concrete blocks.
They're concrete barriers. Mm. And these are things to keep vehicles out. Why? Because people that are insane and have become demon-possessed are taking their cars and driving through crowds and killing them. So now this is a barrier to prevent cars from driving in there. But if there is an event, then you need an ambulance to get in there. So they have these ramps over here so that they can lower them, that an ambulance can come in. Yeah. So, Martin, is the world insane?
No, this is just prophecy being fulfilled. So they are insane, unfortunately. So, yeah.
Do you think this is going to carry on for another 250 years?
There's nothing going to be left.
No matter where you go, there they are. All of these concrete blocks so that people can't drive in and just kill people indiscriminately. It hasn't happened here yet.
No.
But Europe
precautionary
is taking precautions. What about grooming gangs in the UK thrived in a culture of ignorance? So cultural blindness, ignorance, prejudice led to repeated failures over decades to properly investigate cases in which children were abused by grooming gangs. The world is so debauched and so sick that no wonder Wilson says that if we don't act now, our window of opportunity is gone. There is an administration in place. We have a direct line to the administration. The administration has issues in place or
putting it in
structures in place in order to implement it. They're bringing out the National Guard to bring order. Now, this is purely civil order.
Yeah.
What about the underlying cause, which is moral disorder?
It's getting there very soon. In the latest visit, the South Korean president visited Trump. And in the with the press conference, that president was lauding Trump the whole time about he must come and make peace between South and North Korea. And that whole meeting went about.
And he's now talking about meeting Kim Jong-un.
He's definitely, he said it's going to happen. He's boasting about how many wars he's stopped. 35 years, the Indian one, the 30 years in Congo.
Are they talking peace, Martin?
It's the whole time. And why? Because he's edging on bringing in the morality side of Christianity.
All right. So, Martin, when they say peace, what comes then?
Sudden destruction.
Isn't that an overwhelming surprise?
For sure.
Okay. So, a British man convicted of criminal charges for praying silently near abortion clinics. Now, this has been happening. Now, that Satanist said it would happen by 2025, and it's certainly happening by 2025. It actually started happening earlier than that already. So the court's reasoning betrayed the absurdly censorious nature of the local law. So these are real issues that are taking place, and I believe they are there to bring about a backlash.
I believe that too.
And to swing that pendulum to moral laws, and then, Martin, the mark of the beast will be implemented, and it could happen within a very short window of opportunity. Even if there's some collateral damage, it will be the lesser of two evils. So, Martin, get ready. This is the reason why we are talking about these issues. Then my eyes were taken from the glory, and I was pointed to the remnant on the earth. The angel said to them, will you shun the seven last plagues? Will you go to glory and enjoy all that God has prepared for those who love him and are willing to suffer for his sake? If so, you must die that you may live. That's dying to self.
That's that reformation.
Get ready. You must have a greater preparation than you now have, for the day of the Lord cometh cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger. It is that time that God calls his unusual work. Mm. God is not into retributive judgment. He wants everyone to be saved. But the time of probation is coming to a close. Mm. You must have a greater preparation. Why? Than you now have, for the day of the Lord cometh cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, to destroy the sinners thereof out of it. There's no millennium of peace and safety here. And it's not going to take 250 years to finally implement it over the entire world.
No.
Sacrifice all to God. Lay all upon the altar, self, property, all, a living sacrifice. It will take all to enter glory. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where no thief can approach or rust corrupt. You must be partakers of Christ's sufferings here if you would be partakers with him of his glory hereafter. And there will be no rapture, Martin, because the Israelites were here when the plagues fell. God's people will be here when the plagues fall, because type has to meet anti-type. The destruction came and they were taken out of their captivity. The destruction will come now, and then God's people will be taken out of their captivity.
That portion of the plagues falling and we being protected by God to go through it is actually another example of his protection over us and example Correct. To the rest of the world.
But when those plagues fall, probation will be closed for the world. The decision time is when?
Now.
Now. So, Martin, let's have a look at Europe and see if it'll take 250 years to get that mindset into place. Mm. The BBC reports on the 25th of August, 2025, that the national flags have started lining our streets. They may say something more.
Mm.
People are hoisting national flags. Driving through the southwest of Birmingham, it's hard not to notice something about the lampposts. For more than a mile, almost everyone has a St. George or a Union Jack flag attached to it. Thousands of them. In fact, Martin, they are saying, we want our old system back. Mm. We're tired of all this immigration. We're tired of all this strange activity. We want to have our conservative values. And they actually said that if there were an election now, it would favor the conservative
side.
Yeah,
for sure. And another thing is, the mainstream media is not actually giving attention to this.
No, it's not.
There's so much more happening that you don't even see.
Correct. And even in France, the media, worldwide media, is hammering all the liberal values. Whether they're talking about issues of Macron and his wife, mm-hmm. or saying, you know, look, this world is a debauched world, and look at the people that are leading this world, and let's move to a more moral side. Martin, it can happen overnight.
And remember, people must not forget that bringing that conservative morality, the Catholic system has room for it. That's actually pre-Vatican II.
Correct. And unlike the United States, the laws in Europe are already in place and don't have to be reactivated or anything of that nature. So Martin, they say here that the latest phenomenon started in mid-July in Woolley Castle and spread to neighboring areas. And the last week it has ripped not just across the Midlands, but other parts of England, including Worcester, Bradford, Greater Manchester, Newcastle, Norwich. It's a sudden movement. The last events will be what?
Rapid.
Rapid one. And Trump signs executive order establishing specialized National Guard units to address crime in the city. Are they proactive?
Are they putting in place government authority in places now under this guise, or let's not for crime, to prevent crime.
Do we have anarchy? Do we have opposition from the left? Are they screaming blue murder? Is it being implemented?
Finished.
Slowly and gently, right?
No, unfortunately not. Rapidly. Just rapid. This is happening right there. He says it and it goes.
Okay. So what did the Secretary of Defense, Pete Hegseth, have to do with it? Well, with establishing specialized units in the National Guard that will be specifically trained and equipped to deal with public order issues. The clearest sign yet, he intends to expand the U.S. military's role in domestic law enforcement activities across the country. Martin, can this set the stage for even enforcing moral law?
Listen, if blue laws are implemented, who will then enforce it?
And did we just show that Pete Hegseth has a direct line to Wilson and to Donald Trump?
No, for sure. No, this is real. I think it's time to wake up.
Martin, sleeping is so comfortable. Mm. Now, we spoke to people that are mainly evangelicals, right?
Yeah.
And we told them straight out. And the guys from Heritage and Hope told them straight up that the position that we hold is the same as that the Protestant reformers held, that Rome is the Antichrist. But here we read that the Catholics are becoming the new mainline.
We even mentioned it.
We even mentioned it, yes.
To Douglas Wilson, we said the administration and everybody is run by this. And he said, and his words was, not everybody will probably agree with him on how it has to be implemented.
Correct. All right, so Martin, this is what is happening. The Catholic Church is increasingly functioning as the new mainline church in American politics, where left, right, and center gather to receive Jesus. Leo's pontificate is a capstone. What is a capstone? Well,
put on top.
Wasn't there a rejection of a capstone in the time of Jesus?
Yes.
It seems there's an acceptance of another capstone over here, a pope.
Yes.
An antichrist, in the place of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
To the long maturation of Catholic faith in America, the most important Catholic is now an American, so naturally being an American is becoming Catholic. Isn't that interesting, Martin? So, Martin, when they say annuit captus novus ordo seclorum, out of many one, they're going to unify. Are they doing it?
That capstone is coming, I think, is on top of the pyramid now.
It's coming right down, and it's the eye of Lucifer.
Hype around America's first pope. Now reaching new heights with viral videos of shirts, hats, and pizzas getting hand-delivered to the Chicago-born pontiff, including two dry ice-packed pies carted to Rome today from Aurelio's. The Chicago staple going all in on papal madness, dubbing one pizza the Poperoni after the then-cardinal ate here last summer.
You've hosted then-future presidents. You've hosted boxing legends. They don't have their own table, though.
No. The Pope is our number one fan and number one customer.
This faithful in from New Mexico.
You can travel to the Bean downtown or see Wrigley Field, but this is way more special.
The fanfare consuming Chicago. Pope Leo lookalikes now regulars at White Sox games. The real lifelong fan delivering this message.
My dear friends, it's a pleasure for me to greet all of you.
Holy devotion now hitting the streets.
You've launched a Pope-themed bus tour.
Yeah.
That's like the most American thing ever.
I know.
Chicago Pope Tours held its inaugural trip Sunday, taking patrons to Pope Leo's seminary, even his childhood home.
I think the sense of community that happened was really important.
A growing connection to America's first pontiff that sparked a Pope culture frenzy. Maggie Vespa, NBC News, Chicago.
All right, it's time to start wrapping this up. Is the table set?
Do you need other glasses to see that it is?
Is the mortal wound healed?
It's I think with this last pope, I think
it's coming to fruition, right? Is everything coming to a culmination point?
Yeah, for sure.
Everything that scripture said, that the second beast, which is the United States of America, will give its power or its authority and its clout and put it at the disposal of the first beast by implementing his authority. Aren't they going to want to implement Sunday? Didn't he say so?
Yeah, for sure.
Didn't they say so?
Definitely.
So that's the moral power of the papacy, not the moral power of the Bible, because that's Sabbath.
Yeah.
So, Martin, can we ask the question, are we alarmists and sensationalists because we are talking about these issues now?
I hope that people can start seeing that this is not the case. This is just reality.
Did he, Wilson, say that we must act now before it's too late and the lesser evil must be tolerated for the sake of stopping the greater evil?
Yeah.
They feel that they only have a short window of opportunity. Did we discuss that? And that must obviously be the Trump administration. And that gives us until 2028. Because what if they lose then? Mm-hmm. Then we're back to square one, right? So they want to stem the tide of evil. And if the other side wins, maybe it'll be too late. Martin, 2028 is then. I'm not saying that Christ will come in 2028. But the occult agenda from 2025 mm-hmm. to 2027 is in place.
Yep.
The religious will to implement these things.
Project 2025 was implemented, and in 6 months.
The political will, in other words?
I mean, how much has been implemented in the last 6 months by this administration?
Amazing. Amazing. So, Martin, does this mean it could happen before then? History and prophecy will prove them wrong. By that, I mean that they don't want to have persecution, but history and prophecy will prove that they will implement it, because wherever it has been introduced, it has led to persecution.
That's it.
And I believe we are in the final events. So there are some lessons from Elijah's experience. From Elijah's experience during these days of discouragement and apparent defeat, there are many lessons to be drawn. Lessons invaluable to the servants of God in this age, marked as it is by general departure from right. The apostasy prevailing today is similar to that in the prophet's day that overspread Israel. In the exaltation of human above the divine, the praise of the popular leaders, the worship of mammon, the placing of the teachings of science above the truth of revelation, multitudes today are following after Baal. The enemy of all truth is working with deceptive power to cause men and women to place human institutions where God should be. Did we demonstrate that?
For sure.
And to forget that which was ordained for the happiness and salvation of mankind. Yet, this apostasy, widespread as it is, has come to be, is not universal. Martin, this is very hopeful. Not all in the world are lawless and sinful. Not all have taken sides with the enemy. God has many thousands who have not bowed the knee to Baal. Many who long to understand more fully in regard to Christ and the law. Many who are hoping against hope that Jesus will come soon to end the reign of sin and death. And there are many who have been worshipping Baal ignorantly, but with whom the Spirit of God is still striving. But here's the bottom line. When these events start taking place, I hope that the leaders and the shakers, that some of them at least, and I particularly pray for Wilson and Lennox, because they've been confronted with the issue now, that they will see it and use their influence to sway many to follow the Bible directive so that many can embrace the truth as it is in Jesus. That is the reason and why we should have the privilege of being able to speak with these people is beyond me. It is mind-blowing to me. And we must thank God for the opportunity that he gave us. The opportunity was not at this stage to change their position, but the opportunity is there to wake up God's people.
Yeah.
In terms of the times in which we are living. I think it is time we closed in prayer.
Yeah.
Heavenly Father, it is with a feeling of foreboding that I believe that an overwhelming surprise is around the corner, and the church, according to Scripture, has sleeping virgins. And Lord, if they do not wake up before these events, but only wake up when the shout goes out, the bridegroom has come, it'll be too late. So I pray that they will wake up now. And not only they, but that they will be empowered to preach the message of the third angel with power so that the whole world can be enlightened with its glory. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.